Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, God is good. We know this, right? And He gives good gifts to His children. He blesses us even when we're unaware. But what if you became more aware? What if you learned to flip the blessing by blessing others in the very same way God has blessed you? Well, my guest today writes this: God is in the blessing business, and because you are His child, blessing is your birthright. The problem is that blessings aren't always easy to quantify or qualify. Some are as simple and straightforward as a sunrise. Others are more difficult to discern, such as the blessings of brokenness. The question is, do you believe it? Because you've got to position yourself to receive it. I'm so honored to talk to one of my favorite guests, Mark Batterson. He's written a great new book. It's titled Double Blessing, How to Get It and How to Give It. Let me tell you about him. He doesn't really need an introduction, but I'll give him a proper introduction anyway. Mark Batterson's a New York Times bestselling author of 17 books. He's the lead pastor of National Community Church, one of the most innovative, influential churches in America. One church with seven campuses. Mark holds a doctor of ministry degree from Regent University, and he and his wife, Laura, have three children, and they live on Capitol Hill. Pastor Mark, welcome to the program.
Susie, it's always a joy to be on with you. Thanks so much.
Well, I know you're a busy man, so it means the world to us that you give us your time. And I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but because we didn't have quite a bit of time to talk before the show, but we love to talk scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a verse that you've been hanging around these days, just in your prayer time, something you've been pondering that you could share with us.
You know, I love this promise in Zechariah 9:12, where God says, I will pay back twice for all of your troubles. And, you know, it's actually where this idea of double blessing comes from. But it's a special verse that there is a God who catches our tears in His bottle. And He keeps track of the things that we struggle with, the things that we, the pain and suffering, Susie. And so I'm so grateful for a God who has a way of paying back double for those troubles that we experience.
So good. You know, someone told me recently they were trying to discern God's will, and they'd heard somebody, some speaker say, well, God doesn't really care, such and such and such, finish this sentence. And I just said, you know, I don't think God's indifferent about anything. I mean, because the Bible says He delights in every detail of our lives. And I think we need to know more about His interest in the nuances of our life, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that jumps right into our conversation, because isn't it interesting that an observant Jew would pronounce 100 blessings a day? You know, you don't do that if you aren't really good at nuancing those blessings. And so I think specificity is so important, whether it's in confession or prayer or gratitude.
Love this. You said the blessing of God is not an immunity card against pain and suffering. There is suffering to endure, no question, but there is a blessing on the other side, a double blessing. I would love to know how that has played out in your life.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, you can be stressed and blessed at the same time. I take a pretty honest approach to blessing. And by the way, Susie, I don't think it's a picture of an exotic vacation on Instagram with the hashtag blessed. I think it's something far more eternal and spiritual than that. And I think really the blessing of God, the way I like to say it, is it will actually complicate your life. Now, sin will complicate your life in a way it should not be complicated, but blessing will complicate your life in a way it should be complicated. So when my wife and I got married, it complicated our life. Praise God for 27 years of complications. And we have three complications that we named Parker, Summer, and Josiah. I can't imagine my life without those complications. So I think, yeah, blessing, it's not an immunity card. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I think there is a blessing of God's presence in tough times. I think there's a blessing of God's promise that helps get us to the other side.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this is a good parallel or not, but I worked in fitness for 15 years ago. And the whole idea, when you work out, you're building a new threshold, but it's got to be small steps at a time to get your body a chance to adapt. And you can get your body to do almost anything if you ask nicely in small steps. And, you know, I noticed that it seems when God trains us and prepares us, it's gradually in process. And I think that might be why people who win the lottery, their lives are ruined after, because they've not acquired the ability to steward that kind of quote unquote blessing. And I talk, if you would, about just God's preparatory process, because we so often want the prize without the process, but the process matters very much.
Yeah, and it really isn't about accomplishing the goal. It's about who you become in the process.
Amen.
And so that's why James said, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because it's producing perseverance within you. And so, Susie, I'm not sure if we know enough to know whether something is a blessing or a curse up front. And what I mean by that is there are some things that seem like a blessing, but they backfire, kind of like winning that lottery you just referenced. You know, if you don't steward it the right way, your greatest asset will become your greatest liability. And then I would flip it and say there are some things that sure seem like a curse, but they prove to be a blessing in disguise because they're the catalyst for growth or the catalyst for change. And so here's the deal. Sometimes the circumstances that we're asking God to change are the very circumstances that God is using to change us.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, when you listen to people talk about their greatest spiritual growth, they'll almost always point to some of their deepest suffering. You know, I would say that I owe some of the greatest lessons I learned to my suffering. And you're right. We don't identify it as such up front, but God knows and he leads us through. And, you know, I think people, I love that you were so bold to title this book, Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. I think people shy away from the conversation because of the prosperity gospel. And this is in no way what you're talking about. And you disqualify that and qualify the biblical message in the book. But I want you to talk about the implications of throwing out the whole notion of blessing just because some have taken it to an extreme and misinterpreted what God intended in the first place.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that before original sin, there was original blessing. And so this is the very first thing that God does. And so blessing is God's most ancient instinct. In fact, I would be so bold as to say that God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. Now, God's not going to bless greed or pride or laziness, loves us too much to do that. But and so we have to posture ourselves for that blessing. But this is God's posture towards us. It's one of blessing. And so, Susie, when I started writing this book, you know, I thought it was about gratitude and generosity, and it is. But really, it's about rediscovering God's heart towards us, that no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. This is the Heavenly Father's heart towards us.
So good. You said the blessing of God is the solution to your biggest problem, the answer to your boldest prayer, and the fulfillment of your bravest dream. I just love that. I'd love to know, just from your own history, Mark, how the goodness of God has surprised you as you've positioned yourself before him, saying, this is who you say you are, and I am who you say I am. How has he surprised you?
Well, it never ends.
Yeah.
You know, I think that someday we'll probably thank God as much for the prayers he didn't answer as the ones that he did. Because we don't always know enough to know what to ask for. And so, you know, Susie, every year we, as a church, we put together a strategic plan. And then every year, my wife, Laura, and I do a little annual retreat where we kind of strategize as a couple, as parents, do some calendaring, do some budgeting. But you know what? At the end of the day, God always has a surprise up his sovereign sleeve. And never ceases to amaze me. He works in strange and mysterious ways. And so I think I take heart in the fact that, yeah, I have no idea what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I know that God is ordering my footsteps, that God is preparing good works in advance. And so, you know, I think that's what gives us the holy confidence just as we navigate life and even tough seasons, tough circumstances, that there is a God who is going to help us get to the other side.
And maybe you just answered what is going to be my next question, but I'd still love for you to speak to this. You know, some of the things I've walked through in my history, I noticed over the years that I was living, in some sense, bracing for impact because just one hard thing after the other, health-wise and otherwise. But I'm not there anymore. I mean, God has done such a deep work. As I've been speaking on that, just saying, you know, I'm not bracing for impact anymore. I can't tell you, Mark, the number of people have come to me privately going, I live bracing for impact. And as I was working my way through your book, I was just thinking, really, God wants something completely different from us, a holy expectancy. And I wonder what you would say to that person listening today who's, I don't know how to get out from under this. I love God, but I feel like I am constantly bracing for impact.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is let's all take a deep breath and then let it out. And that really is one of my definitions of the sovereignty of God. God wants us to get where God wants us to go more than we want to get where God wants us to go. And he's really good at getting us there. You know, I think we tend to think of the will of God as circumstantial, you know, that it's about being in the right place at the right time. It's about who, what, when, where, and how. But Susie, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, there's some of the shortest verses in the Bible, but they pack a punch. Verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray continually. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I would just remind us that even when we're confused, even when the compass needle is spinning, even when we're in one of those tough seasons, and listen, everybody walks through the valley of the shadow of death. I think we got to remind ourselves that we do know the will of God. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances.
Boy, that's so good. We're going to pause here for our first break. I'm talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson. His new book, hardcover, amazing book, Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. I love this book. We'll get a handful of copies to get into your hands. We're going to do it the way we do it every day. You're going to text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. When we come back, Pastor Mark, I'd love for you to talk about how you tried this experiment, that you decided to flip the blessing. Every time you noted a blessing that came your way, you wanted to flip it. I want you to tell that story, what the outcome was, how God showed up. We'll be back with Mark Batterson in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Honored to have you listening today. Got a special guest, Mark Batterson. His new book is titled Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. Fantastic. I love this book. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Pastor Mark, you tried this experiment where you decided to pay more attention to the blessings that were coming your way, and then you wanted to turn around and flip them. Tell us more about that experiment.
Yeah, well, I have to credit my first job. I was a gas station attendant, and one of my jobs was taking inventory every month. And if I missed something, it didn't get restocked. I think this idea of taking inventory, I guess you could call it counting our blessings, naming them one by one. It's this idea of the psalmist that bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so we've got to take really good inventory of the blessings of God. And I might even add this idea that the Talmud, the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, it basically said, whatever you don't thank God for, it's as if you have stolen it from him. And so anything less than gratitude is grand larceny. And so we've got to inventory our blessings, but then we've got to flip the blessing. And so this is as old as the Abrahamic covenant, that we are blessed to bless. The question is how? And I would suggest that you just bless people the way that you've been blessed. And I think this has to do with time, talent, and treasure.
Fantastic. You said, what is the blessing of God? It's God with us, God for us, God in us. To reduce it to anything less dishonors God and devalues the blessing. God with us is joy unspeakable and the peace that passes understanding. In the book, Pastor Mark, you tell a story about a time you were sitting in a class in your doctorate program and you received a phone call that blindsided you. Tell us, if you don't mind, tell us that story.
Yeah, my father-in-law was 55 years old, prime of life, prime of ministry, and just been to the doctor, gotten a clean bill of health, and then died of a heart attack a few days later. It was devastating. And those who have walked through grief, you know that your system just kind of goes into shock. But as I was standing at the foot of his casket, you know, not sure what to think and not sure what to pray, I prayed this double portion prayer, kind of like Elisha, and just asked God if he would give me a double portion of his anointing. And, you know, I look back, Susie, and it's been about two decades, and I can honestly say that I think that most of what God's done in and through me, I think it's an answer to that prayer. And he's answered it in some ways that I maybe didn't anticipate, but that really was a defining moment for me. And so grateful for that double portion, so grateful for that double blessing.
It's interesting, in the book you talked about at that time, first of all, your father-in-law was only mid-50s, so he was young and in the prime of his health and his life. I can't even imagine what that was like for you and Laura. But you also said he was a pastor of one of the largest churches in the country at the time, right?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. He was. And you know, at that point, National Community Church, we were probably we were a couple handfuls of people. And so, you know, I wondered if it might mean that at some point NCC would grow to the size or maybe even double the size of that church. And the crazy thing is we're on that trajectory. But I think it's more than that. I think it's this idea that, you know, isn't it interesting, Susie, that when Elijah said, what do you want? Elisha could ask for anything, could ask for his inheritance for that matter. But what he really wanted was a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And I just think it's kind of cool that then scripture actually records that Elisha did perform twice as many miracles. But I think the beautiful thing in that story is that Elijah's legacy isn't what he accomplished in his lifetime. I think Elijah's legacy was Elisha, that success is succession. It's about what God does, not just in us, but through other people whose lives we've touched.
Wow. You wrote that when your father-in-law prayed, it seemed there'd be no way that God wouldn't answer. And when he preached, it stretched your faith to believe for greater things. Again, I think that people would say that about you, Mark. So I want you to say more about that reality in your father-in-law and its impact on you.
Well, I might go all the way back. One of my early memories is hearing my grandfather kneel beside his bed and pray for me. By the way, Elmer Johnson was the first municipal judge of Fridley, Minnesota, taught at Northwestern when Billy Graham was the president. And so home right on the Mississippi River. And I can still hear that echo of those prayers, that there's something powerful. I think there have been moments in my life where God has done some things I certainly don't deserve. And the Holy Spirit has whispered, listen, the prayers of your grandfather are being answered in your life right now. And so just to speak faith, speak a word of encouragement to those who are listening. You know, I think our prayers are really prophetic. And I'll speak to parents even. Listen, you may feel like you fail, an awful lot. Well, welcome to the club, first of all. But secondly, I think prayer turns parents into prophets who shape the destiny of their children. And it's not that those prayers are answered immediately. Sometimes it's long after, we're long gone, but God keeps good track of those prayers. And I think those prayers are our potential.
So good. Another interesting thing, I just think the spillover impact was your father-in-law's church gave away record amounts of money, although he didn't really broadcast that to even the body because he didn't want them to become self-satisfied. I love that. So he was sort of raising up a standard of giving to missions and to kingdom work. And in turn here, your church is doing the same thing. I want you just to talk about how you've walked that out and the impact on the body that you've had, even in your own congregation.
Yeah, I might go all the way back to when our church wasn't even self-supporting. In fact, our income was $2,000 a month, and it cost $1,600 to rent the D.C. public school where we met. So wow. That left $400 for our salary and all other expenses, and we felt this prompting that we needed to start giving to missions. Now, Susie, here's the lie that many of us buy into. We think that when we make more money, we'll give more money. I don't think so. I think generosity starts right here, right now. And, you know, we have given millions of dollars to missions, and I would say we want to grow more so that we can give more. But it started with a $50 check. And I tell you what, you almost had to pry it out of my hands. It felt crazy at the time because we were giving really what we didn't have. But we decided to stand on a promise in Luke 6, given, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Now, you and I both know God is not a slot machine. You can't play God like a game. You got to give for the right reasons. But if you do, you can't outgive God. And but I would say it's a lot of fun trying, Susie.
Yeah, indeed it is. And your church is made up of primarily 20-somethings. So the idea that you, I mean, for a church to give close to $20 million anyway is mind-boggling, but your demographic makes it impossible. I just marvel at what God has done. I bet you do,
well,
too.
You know, I'm grateful for the dollar amount that we've invested, but I think even more than that, I think we've taken 272 mission trips in the last 17 years. And, you know, we have a little saying that one mission trip is worth more than 52 sermons. And there's something about getting into going on a trip to a third world country, for example, where people might make $2 a day. It is a reality check that, first of all, our problems, most of them are first world problems. Mm. And secondly, we have been blessed with so much, and we've got to make sure that we steward it. God doesn't bless us to raise our standard of living. He blesses us to raise our standard of giving.
Come on. Amen. Talking to pastor, author Mark Batterson. His new book is titled Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. Beautiful hardcover book. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. When we come back, we'll talk about the power of gratitude. Back in a moment. I see you in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. So glad to have you listening today. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to one of my favorite guests to interview, author Pastor Mark Batterson. He's got a brand new book titled Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. And you are truly, Mark, one of the most humble, gracious, grateful people I've ever interviewed. And I appreciate that so much about you because you've had phenomenal success. But I just feel like God has really kept you grounded in the right things. And I appreciate that. Talk about the role gratitude has played in your life and how God has used it to keep you on the rock, really.
Well, that's awfully kind, Susie. And, you know, we have four family values. The first one's gratitude. And I'll throw the other ones out. Gratitude, generosity, humility, and courage. We want those four things to define who we are. But I do think it starts with gratitude. I think gratitude is the genesis of generosity. It's understanding that it's all from God and it's all for God. And I think when you have that mindset, it really creates this mindset of abundance. You know, I want to be careful right here and just say that God doesn't need your money. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hills. You know, this is not a money issue. I think it's a heart issue. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so God does want our hearts. And so I think it starts with gratitude and not taking anything for granted. Really, well, you mentioned earlier that I think you worked in the fitness world for a while. Well, you got to exercise that gratitude muscle. An observant Jew would say 100 blessings a day, and you might pull a hamstring if you try to do that. So maybe start with 3 gratitudes a day, and you do that day in and day out, and I think it will cultivate this attitude of gratitude.
Well, grateful, generous people are some of the happiest people around. Even science has verified that it changes your brain structure when you're in an attitude of gratitude, and generosity changes your physiology. I mean, we really are wired to be flow through accounts of God's blessings. I mean, he's wired us that way, hasn't he?
He has. And what Jesus said is true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And listen, I love being on the receiving end, Susie. If someone sends me a gift, I will receive it with gratitude. But you know, I've learned, especially as a parent, that there is no greater joy than giving a great gift. And I would even say that the more we give, the more we enjoy what we keep. And so I think it's kind of putting to the test what Jesus said. We approach it like a game. Wherever we've been blessed, how can we flip that blessing and let someone else experience that as well?
So give me some examples, if you don't mind. And you won't lose your reward, right? If you talk about it. I'm just kidding.
You know, it's so funny. I actually joke about that as a pastor because I tell a lot of stories, and I think I've probably forfeited a few blessings along the way.
But if it helps people give, there's something powerful about that. Sometimes it takes a testimony to get a testimony, you know?
Yeah, it does. And so let's think in terms of time, talent, and treasure. I would say right away that it's easiest for me to be generous with treasure, with money. In fact, sometimes writing a check is a cop-out because then I don't have to personally get involved. I would say that for me, the hardest thing to be generous with is my time because it feels in such short supply. And then I would say that about talent as well. Let's not reduce the idea of generosity just to a monetary thing. I think it's a way of life. I'll give you one simple example. Before I wrote a book, I had no idea how to do it or how to find an agent or a publisher. And you know what? There was a pastor, Susie, who I know for a fact was way too busy to take a lunch meeting with me, but he took that meeting anyway and spent a couple of hours of time and then helped me find my first agent and then endorse my first book. And so I've always looked back on that and thought that was a blessing. And so then how can I flip that blessing for other first-time authors? So maybe that's an example of kind of the mindset of what it means to flip the blessing.
Very good. You write this: one of the most common mistakes we make is thinking we can attain the level of success others have achieved without the corresponding sacrifices. Before you envy someone's success too much or too long, you might want to count the cost. And you often say, work like it all depends on you, pray like it all depends on him. Talk more about just that cooperating with God in the blessing. In fact, you make a distinction in the book, a clear distinction between obedience and legalism. You know, this isn't quid pro quo, but our positioning does matter. So talk, if you would, about that.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think excellence honors God, for example. In fact, I love what Dorothy Sayers said. She said that, I dare say no crooked table legs or ill-fitted drawers ever came out of the carpenter shop in Nazareth. In other words, I think Jesus did what he did as a carpenter with excellence. And so I don't think we can afford to take shortcuts. The blessing of God is not good luck. the blessing of God involves some hard work. Now, you know, by definition, grace is undeserved. So I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about earning something, but I do think that there's got to be some sweat equity. There are certain habits of highly blessed people. I would say obedience is kind of the baseline, if you will. But then even beyond that, I think God blesses humility. I think God blesses excellence. I think God blesses this attitude of gratitude. And so, you know, I talk about some of those habits in the book and how we can cultivate them. At the end of the day, it is about posturing ourselves in a way that we enable God to bless us in a way that then won't backfire because of our immaturity.
You know, scripture talks about, you know, we plant the seed, but the Lord brings the increase. I wonder if you could say a word to the person who feels like they've been operating in addition most of their life, but they want to move in a multiplication. You know what I mean? They want to see a greater return on the kingdom investment, and they're wondering, have I missed something? What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, well, I'd say you can't bury your talent in the ground, for starters. You know, I'm actually sympathetic to the servant who buries the talent because he doesn't lose anything, Susie. He actually returns that original investment. But Jesus calls him wicked. Now, that seems a little harsh, but here's the deal. God wants a return on investment, and that means we have to trust God enough to be willing to take some risks. By the way, the outcome of that story, well, the reward for good work is not an early retirement or extended vacation. The reward for good work is more work. And so the way I like to say it, and I kind of spell this out a little bit, the blessings of God will complicate your life. But of course, it will complicate your life in a way that it should be.
Indeed. And that you'll be prepared for and ready for. And that's why I feel like the excellence, the humility, the hard work, all those things give you this, prepare you to stand in that next place. And okay, here's a question for you. From the outside looking in, it appears that everything you touch prospers. I'm just saying, I know that it just looks that way. I know better because I walk with God and I know what things take behind the scenes. But what do you say for the person? What's your vantage point as far as how you've walked out your journey? Because you've had your own heartbreaks and battles and had to, you know, humble yourself and let things go that you could have taken up your defense and someone's being critical, or, you know, talk about just your vantage point of your journey.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start, Susie. I mean, we could talk about a dozen different things. But one thing that I would just say up front is that I lead with a limp. There's a wear and tear to life and ministry, but I really lean into that story of Jacob where he wrestles all night. And you remember his hip gets wrenched out of the socket. And so my hunch is, you know, based on the fact that there really wasn't any kind of advanced medicine back in the day, he probably limped the rest of his life. But what was the outcome of that? Well, he secured the blessing. And so I think that limp was a reminder of the blessing that he had been given. And so, again, I think you can be blessed and stressed at the same time. Blessing is not no problems. It just means that God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. And I think that then helps us in those challenging circumstances to navigate with an extra measure of grace. People perk up and notice, hey, we go through some of the same challenges, but there is a peace that passes understanding. There is a joy unspeakable. And that's, of course, what we have in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
So good. If you don't mind, let me ask you, what would you say is the most challenging part of stewarding your call? Maybe something people would take for granted or not even realize. But, you know, for me, it's the health thing. I've come so far, but I had some chronic health issues. So travel throws me off center at times. And a few things like that, that just are a constant thing that I have to deal with. And it's hard sometimes. But what about you? What might people not know that you really have to navigate to steward your call?
Yeah. Well, for starters, I think leading a church has turned me from an extrovert into an introvert.
Amen. Totally.
I would say that, you know, when I signed that first book contract, and this double blessing is book number 17, If I'm not careful, I remember that moment signing that first book contract. Just what a blessing. Like, I couldn't believe that someone was going to pay me to write books. But Susie, then I had my first deadline and produced a tremendous amount of stress. And then when the book came out, then my calendar got stressed. And so if I'm not careful, I instead of seeing the blessing, I focus on the stressing. But like we talked about, you know, a few minutes ago, it's that stressing that then creates more capacity within us. So I set my alarm very early in the morning. And there are certain sacrifices that I've made to pursue that calling. And I think every one of us would say the same thing. And, you know, parents know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, kids will complicate your life and add stress in any and every stage. But let's not forget that those children are a blessing from the Lord.
Amen. Great place to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a story you tell about a time when you spoke at an event alongside Tommy Barnett, and he prayed a prayer that changed the trajectory of your life, you say. I love that story. I'm talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, celebrating his new book, hardcover book, Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. Love to get your name in on the drawing. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a link to you, and you fill out a short little form, and that gets you in the drawing that way. 877-933-2484. You can also email questions if you'd like to middays@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, having a fantastic conversation with our friend Mark Batterson, who's written another great book. This one's titled Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. And first of all, Mark, I love the Barnetts. I've had Tommy on the show. I've had Matthew and Caroline on a good handful of times. So I can totally see why you guys would love each other. But you served at an event where you and Tommy, Pastor Tommy, spoke together. Tell us about that experience and what happened there.
Yeah, it had a profound impact on me. That first book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, was about to release. And I knew the statistics that average book didn't sell more than 5,000 copies. And, you know, I'd worked a little too hard on it, Susie, to believe for less than that. And so at that conference, Tommy talked about a multiplication anointing. And, you know, I hadn't heard that term before. In fact, I kind of wondered, you know, what is the basis of that? But I figured if Tommy was offering, I was accepting. And the truth is, Jesus talked about good soil that produces a 30, 60, and 100-fold return. And so I really credit the fact that the books I've written, they have sold a few more than 5,000, and the Lord seemed to multiply them in ways that I would have never imagined. But I really believe it's an answer to that prayer. In fact, if the altar is open, I'm up there, because I want every blessing that God has for me. And, you know, I don't believe it's an abracadabra kind of thing. Listen, God can meet us anywhere, anytime, but I love kneeling at the altar. And listen, the altar can be your bed. You know, you can kneel next to your bed and humble yourself before the Lord. But there's something about that posture that then allows the Lord to multiply something. I think the key is He knows the intent of our heart, that if we're going to flip the blessing, well, then there's nothing that keeps God from allowing us to be that channel of blessing, so to speak.
You write this: if your goal is to multiply for selfish purposes, God won't bless it. But if your motives are pure, God has blessings in categories you cannot conceive of. And yet so often, Mark, we're focusing on the outcome, on getting the blessings versus being blessable. And yet you talk about obedience and humility and submitting to God. You even talk about the umbrella blessing, about being under kind of the umbrella of God. Speak a bit, if you would, about that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite chapters. It was fun to write and tell the story of Jonas Hanway. And we'll just kind of leave that hanging out there. But he got made fun of a little bit as the first man to carry an umbrella in England. He's actually got a little spot in Westminster Abbey. But I use this idea of the umbrella. Listen, an umbrella doesn't change the forecast. It doesn't keep it from raining, doesn't even keep you from getting wet, but it is an extra layer of protection. And so I think this blessing that's pronounced from the top of Mount Gerizim in Deuteronomy 28 is this wonderful umbrella blessing that I'll bless you coming in and going out, and just all of these incredible blessings. And I think every blessing is ours in Christ, Ephesians 1. And so there is this umbrella blessing that I think is part of our birthright as the children of God. And I think we need to lay claim to those things. And so again, I don't think it's as simple as health, wealth, and prosperity. And I don't think it's an immunity card either. But I have no doubt that God has some blessings with our name on them that we can't even conceive of.
You talked about stepping out from under that umbrella. And, you know, another story that reminds me of is Ruth, when Boaz, you know, said, stay in my field. You know, the men won't bother you here. So here she stays in his field. She ate and had more than enough. You know, she actually received more than she'd worked for, because he had them pull out those sheaves and leave them behind for her. I think that's such a beautiful picture as well. She was a hard worker. She was humble. She wasn't entitled. And yet in that place of humility and reverence, God more than provided for her.
Yeah. And then look what the Lord did. Not just bless her with a husband, but then, of course, their offspring. A few generations and you've got King David, and a few more generations and you've got Jesus.
Amazing story. And that set the picture. You know, I always joke around that, you know, heaven knows who's who in the zoo, as far as heaven knows who has faith and who doesn't, and who's humbling and bending their knee and who's striving for importance. And God is such a good father. He discerns what we can handle and what we can't. And you have a chapter titled The X Factor. So tell me, what is the X Factor?
Well, I think it's the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. And I think you could call it blessing. You could call it favor. You could call it anointing. Call it what you will. I think it's the fact that I would even say that without the help of the Holy Spirit, Susie, I'm below average. But with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And so I think God wants to do things in us and through us that are beyond our ability. And so I've prayed this prayer over surgeons and professional football players and entrepreneurs, and you fill in the blank. I really believe that God wants to anoint us to do what we do in a way that people will have to glorify God, because there's some kind of X factor at play.
Boy, that's fantastic. You have a chapter that's pretty clever. It's titled God in the Hands of Angry People. Of course, it's a play on Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Talk, if you would, for people maybe who aren't aware of Jonathan's, I mean, I know he's a great teacher. That message, I think, is, well, anyway, say more if you would.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in the beginning, God created us in his image. We've been creating God in our image ever since. And so when we project our inclinations, our imperfections onto God, I think what you end up with is God in the hands of angry people. And so I kind of deconstruct this false God, so to speak. In fact, I think we need to, in a sense, reject the God who isn't. In other words, who is not really the God of the Bible. And then we've got to go back to Scripture and really understand who he is. And again, Susie, I think that's the heart of this book, about rediscovering the Heavenly Father's heart towards us, and the fact that blessing is God's most ancient instinct. I think it starts right there.
I wonder at times, there's sometimes a mindset that comes off as humility, but it's almost self-defeating because it sounds noble, but I'm not going to bother God with anything. Do you know what I mean? Almost living hunched over as if that somehow pleases God. And you've studied scripture in depth, especially around the blessing of God. Speak to that mindset and how it really actually doesn't honor God, and it draws attention to the person who's hunched over.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's false humility, which mm-hmm. is as dangerous as pride, because it's failing to believe that you are who God says you are, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared in advance, that you are more than a conqueror. We are not doing anybody any favors, including God, if we fail to really believe that we are who God says we are. That is our identity. And so we're going to have some identity issues if even if we get this sequence right of original sin and original blessing. If we get the sequence wrong, Susie, the algorithm of life is off, because we begin to relate to God for the wrong reasons, and it messes up who we see when we look in the mirror. And so let's not think any more, but let's not think any less of who we are as defined by God himself.
So when did that happen for you, Mark? When did you get a revelation of really where his love went from your head to your heart, to your gut and your soul, that impacted deeply how you approach him?
Yeah, well, I think it's a progressive revelation, Susie, that continues over time. But, you know, I would have been 5, 6 years old when the Billy Graham film, The Hiding Place, was released. And I remember going downtown Minneapolis, and I can't remember what church the film was showing at, but it was that night that I went home and asked my mom if I could ask Jesus into my heart. And it was a defining moment for me. There was some kind of revelation of God's love as I watched that movie about Corrie ten Boom. And then from there, you know, like any relationship, even like the relationship with my wife or with my children, over time, I think the love grows stronger and deeper and longer. And I'm so grateful that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. May God give us a revelation of that truth.
Indeed. Amen. What do you know about God now, Mark, that you didn't know 5, 10 years ago?
Oh, my. Well, I tell you what, having children is a game changer for me. I can't not love my kids, Susie. It doesn't depend on the day of the week. It doesn't depend on what they're doing right or doing wrong. There's nothing that can compromise the love I have for my children. I can't not love my kids. God can't not love you. Now, listen, there are certain things that we gotta get our game on. And by that, I mean confession and repentance. And, you know, I think it was Max Lucado who might have said that Jesus loves us just the way we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way. And so I think I'm more and more convinced of God's love for us, and more and more grateful for it.
Indeed, amen. Well, Pastor, I don't have words to express how much I appreciate you. Thank you for the time. I know you're a busy man. Bless you for all you've given to us today.
Susie, it's always a joy and a privilege. Double blessings. Mm.
And to you as well. Mark Batterson, friends, title of his book is Double Blessing, How to Get It, How to Give It. We'll leave the drawing open for another about 15 minutes. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Have a very blessed day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.